Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Anybody got a testimony this morning? Miss Ruby was testifying there and telling about how God saved her, where He brought her from. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me when people testify and they tell about where God found them. And I've been going to church with these people all this time, and I've never known nothing but their life since they've been saved. I can't imagine some people that I hear talk about what a wicked life they lived to think about that myself, when I've seen what God has done in their lives, where He's brought them from and the place He's brought them to, and their love for the Lord, and how they testify of His goodness, His mercy, and His grace that's been in their life and brought them to that place. And it just amazes me. I can't imagine these talking about how wicked they used to be. And I know we were all wicked as hell as far as that goes. We were all unworthy of salvation, but God pulled us up out of that horrible pit that we was preaching about. The psalmist was talking about there in Psalms 40 on Wednesday night. He's placed our feet upon a rock, and He's established our goings, and He's put a new song that we can sing. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I know what Christmas is about. It's about that Savior that came into this world to bleed and die for wretched sinners like you and I. And we were all wicked in the eyes of God, far as that goes. But I'm glad that He, in His mercy, extended His grace to us and saved us by His grace. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7. We're going to look at that this morning. He said in verse 7, and I don't think I'll read the whole passage there just for sake of time. I'm going to read verse 7, just sort of give us the launching board, and then we'll read these verses as we go through this morning. But the Bible says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." And I want to preach on the thought this morning is don't be like them. Don't be like them. And last week we looked at being a follower of God, and that means that we're to imitate God just as children imitate their parents. And we're to love as He loves. We're to walk as He walks. We're to talk as He's taught. Hey, we're to live as He lives. We're to mimic the Father in all things. And that's a hard command to follow, but it's what we're to strive for in our days that we live in this day and hour that we're in today. But in these verses, I want to look and consider this morning that we're also given a commandment there in verse 7. The command is, "Be ye not therefore partakers with them." And just as we're to imitate the Lord in every possible way, hey, we're to avoid imitating the actions and the attitudes and the ways of the world. And it's easy to fall into the same rut in which the world runs this morning. Hey, it's easy to go with the flow and not ruffle the waters that's around us and just follow the world this morning. And many Christians we find this morning do just that thing. Hey, we adopt the ways of the world. We adopt their fashions, their speech, their standards, hey, their entertainment, and nearly everything else that they do this morning. But God has chosen us to be different. He's called us out of a lifestyle of sin and wickedness, and He's called us to live for Him, to honor Him, and He's given us some commandments, hey, that we're to follow. And if we're to emulate anyone this morning, it's not to emulate the world, but it's to emulate our Father and to be like Him this morning. So I want to preach on just a little bit this morning on don't be like them. And we all run the risk of being like the world. Hey, when God saved us, He put something in our heart, put someone in our heart that can help us, that we can live for Him, that we can walk with Him, that we can turn our lives around and be a follower of God this morning and not be like of the world this morning. So I want to look at several things and challenges, hey, that's laid out in this passage of Scripture this morning for you and I as believers, as those that's been saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb of God this morning, hey, that we're to follow in our life and to apply to our life. Number one, hey, there are actions that we must avoid. Hey, there's some actions that we must avoid. Ephesians chapter 5 and 3 and 4 said, "But fornication and all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And in these two verses here, we find at least six things that are named, and these sins are to be avoided by the people of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, and they're talking about us and what God has done for us as believers. The apostle wrote, "And you hath he quickened." That word quickens means to be made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Hey, we were in darkness. When he found us there, he said, "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so we see that we were in that place as others were and are today when God found us, when He saved us. He pulled us up out of that horrible pit, and He's told us to avoid some things this morning in our life. Number one, the first thing He mentioned was fornication. Fornication, and we know what fornication is. It's not just sex outside of marriage, but it's all immorality that's associated with wickedness this morning. It comes from a word, that word fornication comes from a word for porneo, which means all sexual immorality. It's where we get our word pornography. And we know this morning that as we look around, we see all kinds of fornication going on in this world. Marriage don't mean anything much to anybody anymore. They just shack up, live together, and do whatever feels good to them. Hey, but He tells us to avoid fornication. Us as believers, not only here, but several places in the Bible talks and warns us about fornication and what it'll do. Hey, you look at the lives of people a lot of times, and you'll see people that's lived a life of fornication, and you'll see that fornication, that's a sin against the body this morning. And you see a lot of people that's lived a life of fornication, and their bodies are wrecked, and that sin has destroyed their body. All these sexual diseases that we see this morning, it's due to the fact, most of the time, because of fornication that people was committing. Then He says, not only avoid fornication, but to avoid uncleanness. That word speaks of corruption and rottenness. It refers to impure motives and living. Hey, it speaks of moral corruption. And we see this morning that as a nation, we're morally corrupt today. As we look around, there's no power to blush, seems like, in people's lives anymore. I mean, they can just go about their business. All the immorality that's going on, you can't hardly watch television anymore for the immorality that's there, the promoting of homosexuality. I mean, even Hallmark, these movies that used to be geared to the family, now they're bringing men to men together, and they're trying to push this agenda upon our children and upon us as believers today. The best thing we can do is just to boycott these things and don't watch them and don't even associate ourselves with them. He said avoid fornication, avoid uncleanness this morning. Avoid covetousness. This word here refers to greed and lust, and it's a desire to possess that which belongs to another. Hey, we're seeing people today that's filled with covetousness. Hey, we want more and more. We're never satisfied. Hey, whatever it takes to get it, we're willing to do it. People cheating people out of what belongs to them. It's all steers, and the root of the problem is covetousness. Wanting the forbidden, wanting that don't belong to us. Wanting more and more, never satisfied. No contentment in our lives anymore, seems like. He said, avoid covetousness. Then He said, avoid filthiness. That word speaks of obscenity, crudeness, that which is base and shameful. It speaks of those things that are dirty in nature. And it's associated with the next two things that follow, I believe, foolish talking and jesting. But filthiness, have you ever heard so much filthiness? I mean, movies, they think they got to put filthy language on them. They think they've got to put those words that if you got any God about you at all, it'll make you blush when you even hear it. And it'll make you cringe to hear those words coming out of people's mouths. Our president even, you know, he used words that makes me cringe when I hear that word. And it's never right to say those things. The lady that cuts our hair, she was telling Debbie about the man that she was cutting his hair, and he come in wanting to talk politics, and he let out one of those words and said, "What do you think about your president now?" And he used a very vulgar word. And I told Debbie, I said, I just told him right then, I said, "Just get up. I'm not cutting your hair. If you're going to come in my shop talking, if he'd been my wife, I would have probably went and seen him. And told him I didn't appreciate him speaking in such words to my wife." But it's just got to be prevalent in our land. It's just got to be normal. And people don't think, even women use words like that. And he said to avoid filthiness. These things that are crude and obscene. Foolish talking. Speaks of silly speech. Things that don't amount to nothing. That has no sense and makes no sense in our lives. Jesting, that word, it speaks of the kind of wit or talk, hey, that takes something that is said or done, no matter how innocent it is, and turns it into something obscene and suggestive. Have you ever seen people like that? They're just foolish jesting all the time. It can even go further than that. A lot of our conversations are just foolish jesting one with another. You know, find out some little something and just make gestures about it and say things about it that's not pleasing to God. Words of a proverb says, words are like apples of silver, apples of gold, and pictures of silver. It matters what we say. The Bible tells us that every idle word will be brought into account. And we're so filled with idle words today. Idle words that don't bring no glory to God. Hey, idle words that bring disrespect to others this morning. There's some things that we're to avoid. There's an attitude, number two, there's an attitude we must adopt, verse 4. Said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Rather than engaging in those activities and attitudes that characterize the world, the Bible offers a more favorable alternative. Instead of being crude and rude and vile in our speech and action, hey, the Bible states here, rather to be ye thankful this morning. I believe here's what the Lord desires from us as believers. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 said, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." The sacrifice of praise to God continually. So many times we fail to praise the Lord and give Him glory. Hey, so many times we fail to be thankful to Him for the blessing of life. Instead, we get filled with covetousness a lot of times. We want more and more. We want that which somebody else has and are not thankful for what God has blessed us with. The job that God has blessed us with. Hey, the home that God has blessed us with. Hey, we want more and more. We're unthankful generation this morning as we look around. We see the greed of this world. We see the wickedness of this world. Hey, if you're saved this morning and you used to live a life of reproach and a life of sin, hey, we ought to be thankful this morning that God, in His mercy, in His love, and in His grace, reached down and saved us by His marvelous grace this morning and forgave us of our sin. You know, hey, that's a good deal. It's free this morning to everyone that'll come. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hey, we ought to be thankful that God, in His love for us as individuals, gave His Son, hey, that we could have the free gift of salvation this morning. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, not just when we come to the house of God. Hey, not just when we feel good and things are going right. Not, Chris, when we just got COVID. Hey, we ought to be thankful, hey, that if we've had COVID, that he allowed us to live and it wasn't as bad on us as it was someone else. What a blessing it is to be saved this morning. What a blessing it is to go through the Christmas season and to know what Christmas is all about today. It's not about giving gifts, and we've incorporated that into it. We give gifts because the wise men brought gifts to the Lord Jesus when they came. And the commercialism of it has just about destroyed the meaning of Christmas in this day and hour that we're living in. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks." That's for COVID, for whatever. Give thanks to God. Hey, give thanks to God that He brought you through. Hey, give thanks to God that He gave you a good immune system. Hey, be thankful to God, hey, that He's given you a good body to travel in this life that we're living in. A healthy body. Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Hey, it's only reasonable that we just present ourselves to Him. Hey, we ought to take care of ourselves the best that we can and give ourselves back to Him. Hey, we ought to take care of ourselves so we can have us be of service to God and maybe live longer, hey, where we can be a benefit to the kingdom of God this morning. Be thankful in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Instead of this morning of running to do the same things this lost world does, hey, we that are saved must learn to adopt an attitude of praise and thankfulness for all the Lord has done for us. Notice not only this morning their actions we must avoid and the attitude we must adopt, but also there's arguments we must acknowledge. There's arguments this morning that we must acknowledge. Verses 3 through 6 there, as he's giving it, rather than just telling us of what we should not do, the Lord here tells us why we should not do the thing. He here forbids, and he offers us several good reasons why we should and must avoid these sins in our life. He didn't just tell us that we ought to avoid these things, but He gave us a way out of, to avoid these things. The Bible says there's no temptation overtaking you but such as is common to man, but with every temptation, He'd make a way of escape. Did you know that everything you face, someone else has faced? Everything you face, some of those early patriarchs faced the same thing. But God said, even though those temptations come, I'll make a way of escape. We just don't look for those way of escapes a lot of times. But there are arguments that we must acknowledge. Number one, hey, these sins are unbecoming to the saint. These sins that he mentions here that we just went over, hey, they're unbecoming to the saints. Hey, that word becometh means to be suitable to or proper. Hey, these things are just not proper in the life of a believer. Hey, one that's trusted Christ as their personal Savior. In other words, these sins should not be among believers. Hey, because that type of lifestyle is not suited to nor proper for God's people to live in. A person that's saved ought not be living in fornication. That's why a lot of times God saves people that they're shacked up. Hey, it ain't very long. If they're really saved, hey, the Holy Spirit that dwells in them, hey, they'll let them know. In most cases, they know that that's wrong to start with. I mean, we're living in the Bible Belt, and these things have been preached again. And most of the time when you get saved, hey, God points that out in your life, and you get that straightened out. If you're living a life as a drunkard, most of the time a drunkard knows that that's wrong. Hey, now they've legalized all this drinking. We were talking about that the other day during the days of prohibition. I mean, they fought against alcohol. They tried to keep it out of our community. They tried to keep it out of town. But here's what happened. I believe this, and I've thought about this a lot. They seen that they couldn't stop it. And the government thought, hey, we'll cash in on it. We'll get the taxes off of it. And they call these things a sin tax. But they couldn't defeat it in the life that the world lives. And so they thought, we'll legalize it. Same thing with marijuana. Hey, they voted the other day a majority to decriminalize marijuana now. When I was growing up and I was these young men's age back here, if they caught you with marijuana, Chris, they were going to put you under the jail and they weren't going to let you back out. And you know, it put a lot of fear in young people. They slip around and do it. Now we've legalized it and they've got their pot smoking places in Colorado and different places. And it's coming here. It's coming here. I wrote down some things the other day. I wasn't going to do that, but I think I will. I wrote down some things. I was sitting over here in the woods and I was thinking about this. Let me see if I was thinking about those Democrats. I said, why I can't with a clear conscience vote for a Democrat? Number one, they're morally bankrupt. They're morally bankrupt. They have legalized for your sons and sons to marry and daughters to marry. They've made these things legal. Now they've decriminalized the marijuana thing. Number two, they're socialist and disgusting. They're not only morally bankrupt, hey, but they're socialist and they're disgusting. Number three, listen to this. This come to me. They are spiritually lacking in discernment. Their interpretation of Scripture is like their interpretation of the Constitution. It's what they want it to say. Not what God wants the Scriptures and what the Scriptures do say, but what they want it to say. Hey, they make it mean what they want it to mean. Hey, and we're winding down here in America, I believe. We probably have the last conservative judge put in place. Hey, we're on a downward spiral as far as morality and freedom is concerned. Our only hope is repentance toward God. It's time for us as God's people, I believe, this morning, hey, to let our voices be heard and to stand for what's right. But yet we see our churches, they've got so worldly minded. We've just like America and the Prohibition days. Hey, they couldn't do nothing about it, so they brought the people up to the standard. They made it legal. They brought the standard down to the people. Instead of bringing the people up to the standard, we in our churches were brought the standards of the church and the conservatism in our churches. We brought it down to the level of the people. So they can come to church. Church is not a place that you ought to come to and leave if you're lost and on your way to hell and you leave feeling good unless you leave with Jesus in your heart. Hey, if sin is preached again, and this Bible is preached in its power and its purity, hey, when a sinner goes out that door, hey, they ought to be trembling. When they see their condition and where they're headed. But we make everything just hunky-dory today. If you come to church, you're okay. If you get baptized, you're okay. We want to leave out repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. We want to make people feel good about themselves. The Joel Osteens of this country. Hey, the materialistic preachers that health and wealth gospel that's gone around. It's destroyed. It's destroyed what God is all about in our land. And that's why people's got such a narrow focus of who God is today. Everybody's right with God to hear people speak. It's amazing to hear the concepts and the thinkings of even people that call themselves Christians. We won't change it to fit our lifestyles. Hey, these sins here are unbecoming to the saints. Hey, these sins are not convenient. They're in verse 4. He said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Which are not convenient. That word convenient means not equal to our standing. what Christ has given us that have been saved. Our standing, our state, we know varies from day to day. Hey, but our standing is sure. When we practice these or other sins, hey, we're living below our high calling in Jesus Christ. Hey, we're better. We're better than that in Jesus Christ. Hey, we've been delivered from darkness and death and depravity and deception this morning. And these sins are not convenient this morning for the believer. Our standing is sure this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our standing is safe. Hey, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. These is preaching that you can lose your salvation or fall from grace. Hey, they're preaching heresy. Whatsoever God doeth, He doeth it forever. If you're truly saved, hey, then these things shouldn't be in your life. It ought to be evident that you're walking with Jesus. Hey, that you're following God on a daily basis in your life. And these things are not even there. Verse 5, these sins reveal a wicked heart. It says, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These sins reveal a wicked heart. We know that Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, for the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 gives 13 things that Jesus mentions there. Actually, let's turn over and read them. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 7, I'm sorry. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Said, for from within, notice, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. There's 13 things here mentioned. Count them and you'll see. The number 13 in the Bible is a number of rebellion this morning. And these sins reveals a wicked heart. Hey, if you can live a life like this, inconsistent with the Word of God, hey, these things are in your heart and they're evident as you go through this walk of life, you better check up and see where you're at. Because it says here that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Hey, these sins reveal a wicked heart. How's your heart this morning? Is your heart clean? Has your heart had the blood of Christ applied to your life? Are you walking? Are you following God? Are you mimicking God in your everyday walk? Are these things of the world, are you being like them, those that are in the world? 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. Now, there's some good people on planet Earth. There's some good people that may be not involved in some of these things. They may not be saved. But they may be good people. And I'm not saying that everybody in this world is bad. But you look, the vast majority of people are wicked. They're living lives. They're following after fornication, covetousness, jesting, foolish talking, uncleanness in their lives. It don't take you long to turn the television on. There'll be unclean talk. Hey, there'll be foolish talk coming across. It just reveals the heart. These sins reveal a wicked heart. Number four, these sins bring the wrath of God. Verse 6 said, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Some people may use vain words to tell you that it's okay for believers to do these things. The Bible says that those who tell you such things are practicing deception. Hey, they're lying and leading people down the wrong path. It's these very sins that call for the wrath of God to be poured out on the lost. When believers for the deception of sin, hey, we can expect chastening in our life. Hey, you can't sin and go on in your life and not feel the chastening hand of God. Hey, God will bring you back to that point and place where you need to be, or people feel premature deaths. Those that press against the neck, God dealing with them, God tries to intervene in their lives, and they keep going, they keep pressing, they keep going on in their sins. Even though they're saved, they can commit these sins, but they can't live in these sins. The whole point here is that God expects His people to live a certain way. He has reasons for what He demands, and there are consequences for those that disobey. If we want the blessings of God to be in our lives, then we must live holy and clean lives to His glory. If we don't, we'll certainly face chastisement, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 12. Pretty strong language said, if you're without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. That God is not your Father. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we see there's arguments that we must acknowledge. These sins are not becoming to the saint. These sins are not convenient to the saint. Hey, these sins reveal a wicked heart, and these sins bring on the wrath of God. And the Bible tells us that we're not appointed unto wrath. I'm glad that we'll never experience the wrath of God in our lives. Those that are saved, those that are washed by in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad we're going to a better place one of these days. The wrath of God is revealed through hell, and the wrath of God will be revealed in the tribulation period after the catching away of the church, the bride of Christ. And then number four, and lastly, let me say, hey, there's an authority that we must accept. Verse 7 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. This passage here closes this morning with a clear command from the Lord. The Lord has called you and I as believers this morning on a higher plateau, to a higher plateau this morning. Hey, we're to be like Him, not like them. If God saved you, as we looked at Wednesday night, as the psalmist said that the Lord brought him up also out of a horrible pit. Hey, we were all in the same place. We were all wicked in our hearts without Jesus. Hey, but He's brought us up out also out of a horrible pit and placed our feet upon the rock, which is Christ this morning. Hey, He's established our goings. He's put a new song in our heart. Hey, that this world knows not of. Ephesians chapter 5 again, verse 1 said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 said, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Hey, we're to be followers of Jesus this morning. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing. There's an authority that we must accept to not be partakers with this world. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14 says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You look around this morning, and you see the world in the shape it's in. We can see the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13, 14. Very few are finding it because they're being partakers of them instead of Him this morning. How is it with you? I believe, hey, that a Christian this morning is saved. We're subject to the commands and dictates of God this morning in our lives. Hey, He saved us for nothing. It's a free gift, those that will receive Him. Hey, but He saved us that we can we should represent Him in this walk of life as we go through this life and portray and what God has done in our hearts to a lost and dying world. Hey, it's His voice this morning that we obey. Hey, not the song of the world that's around us. He's put a new song in our mouth today, even praise unto our God. A lot of times we tend to look at ourselves in the best possible light. Hey, we always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. We look at our own heart and we tend to say that everything is okay. But remember this morning, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I wonder this morning, how is it in your heart? Is your heart showing that you are a child of God, that you're walking with God on a regular basis, that you're following Him? Or is your heart deceiving you this morning? Has there ever been a time in your life where you took your place as a sinner and received Christ as your Savior? Is your heart trying to deceive you this morning that you're okay? Hey, I heard this a long time. If you're comparing yourself to others, you may look pretty good. But if you're comparing to your life to Jesus' life, we're not looking too hot as we go through this life. How is it with... Come on, Miss Tina, let's give a verse of invitation. There may be someone here lost. I don't know. As far as I know, everybody's saved. If you're saved, are you walking and following God this morning in your life? Are you got some of these sins I mentioned this morning that you're involved in? It don't have to be fornication. It don't have to be some immorality. Hey, it could be anything else. Foolish gesture. Foolish talk. Not representing Jesus in the way that you should. Hey, a rebellious heart. The Bible says stubbornness is witchcraft, and rebellion is as witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity in the eyes of God. You know, we categorize sin a lot of times, but God is a holy God, and all sin is corrupt to Him. All sin brings dishonor to Him. Whether it's gossiping, whether it's running someone down, whether it's just not being faithful. The sins of omission are as bad as the sins of commission. When we don't do what we know is right to do, hey, it brings a reproach upon God. Don't be like them. Be like Jesus. Follow Him as you go through this walk of life. Let's all stand. Maybe someone watching by the way of the webcast this morning, you're lost. You never trusted Jesus. You think that you just tuned in here accidentally this morning. But let me tell you, there's no accidents with God. Hey, if you've never been saved this morning, find you a place, fall on your knees, repent of your sins, and receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm glad that He's standing with an outstretched hand this morning and said, "Come, look unto Me, and be ye saved."